As Dave just said, we find ourselves tonight in part two of a series entitled Push Back. Push Back. And in a moment, I want to read to you Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Well, last month, Dave kicked off this series by drawing our attention to verse 2, where it says, do not be conformed to this world. And he gave everyone a little jar of Play-Doh. And we use that as a symbol for how we are like that Play-Doh, how the world seeks to press itself down into us. So I wanted to keep tonight with that theme of Play-Doh. And instead of just using a little bit of Play-Doh, I went ahead with the help of my bride, and we made a Play-Doh man. Now, this is the children's ministry in me coming out. I couldn't resist but to make a Play-Doh man. So this man tonight, we're going to play with him a little bit. This represents you. Kind of looks like some of you. Not Dave, though, because it's got hair. All right, now. Lord, give me grace, because my hands usually go all over the place when I preach. So this could be a little bit of a challenge, but that's all right. This Play-Doh man represents you and I. We are like Play-Doh, and the world wants to conform us into its image. It wants to form us with its values, with its practices, and with its way of thinking. The world is constantly pursuing us to persuade us what to think and how to think. We also learned last month that we will be conformed to this world if we do not push back. We must push back against the world's attempts to conform us to its image. We don't drift towards godliness. Left on our own, we drift towards the world and towards the world's way of thinking. And the world very often appeals to our sinful nature. So it looks good. It looks like something that we would enjoy. We also looked last month at the only way that we are able to combat the world's pursuit of conforming us is if we transform our minds. Our minds must be renewed day in and day out with God's Word. Last month, we talked about gossip. We talked about slander and how the world wants to press into our way of thinking that gossip and slander is okay, that it's acceptable, that it's part of life. And Dave brought us to several passages of Scripture where we saw what the truth from God's Word was about slander so our minds could be conformed. Well, tonight, I want to address another area. Another area that the world seeks to press into us. Now, there's many ways the world seeks to influence us, but as we as pastors gathered and talked about this season of life for you and what would be the area that we think we want to make sure that we are pushing back against, it would be in the area of your relationship to your parents, your relationship to your mom and your dad. Now, you may be wondering, why are we talking about this again? It seems like as a ministry, we talk an awful lot about youth and your relationship with your parents. Well, I want to just share with you tonight that this is not a Covenant Life Church thing. This is not a pastor's thing. This is not your mom and dad have been emailing us saying, can you please address the parent-youth issue? This is not about us. The reason that we make a big deal about your relationship with your mom and dad is because God makes a big deal in His Word about your relationship with your mom and dad. God makes this a priority in His Word for you. And so we as your pastors want to make this a priority for you also. We want to value, as a church, what God values. And so tonight, that's what I want to do. I want to just talk to you about your relationship with your mom and dad. I want to do that by just bringing 2 points to your attention. We're going to have 2 points tonight. The first is don't conform, And the second is be transformed, taken right out of Romans chapter 12. Don't conform, number one, and number two, be transformed. So number one, let's talk about not being conformed, and what does that mean? Well, the world wants you as youth to believe certain lies about the way that you interact with your mom and dad. Now, the world doesn't come right out and say this to you. The world does not come to you and say, hey, if you will rebel against God, if you will do things my way, your life will be a mess. The world doesn't say, you want to have chaos in your life and problems? Disobey your mom and dad. What the world does is the world sugarcoats it. The world likes to put a cover on it. So the world won't even use the word rebellion when it talks about you interacting with your mom and dad. The world will use other terms. The world will use terms like, you need to express yourself. And the world will slowly press in on you. You need to express yourself. You need to figure out who you really, really are. The world comes after you and keeps preaching to you different lies. Freedom. You really need your freedom, don't you? You need your freedom, and the world just presses that in. You need your own identity. So the world comes pressing down on you. Identity. You need that. You need to be an individual, someone who's unique. You don't need to listen to your mom and to your dad. Your goal is to be independent, isn't it? You need to grow and to be independent. And the world just continues to push down and push down and push down on your way of thinking. It often does it through commercials. It often does it through movies. It'll do it through television, where it exalts peer relationships and mocks your relationship with your mom and with your dad. Often the world will tell you, your mom and dad, they are just out of touch with your generation. You're out of touch. Parents are out of touch with your generation. They're living from another time zone. Often the world will come right out and just say, you know what, your parents are dumb. Your parents aren't wise. They are foolish. They don't know what's best for you. You know, youth, what's really best for you. The world will say, you need your space. So it creates a place online. My space. It's mine. It's not my mom and dad's. It's my space. Now, I don't know much about that kind of stuff, but I've been told that that's going out now, and now it's Facebook. Facebook is what's in. And I read this little article that Dave gave me from the Washingtonian magazine, where I had this to say about Facebook. It's not just the gossip that entices teens. I'm not sure if that was supposed to be encouraging or not, but that's how it began. It's not just the gossip that entices teens. Facebook offers an adult-free world where kids can do and say what they want. It's a window into a virtual secret clubhouse for teens. Adults aren't invited. That's what this magazine had to say about Facebook. Adults aren't invited. Youth, the world wants you to believe lies about how you live and interact and think about your parents. And we are called by God to push back against this way of thinking. God's word has something very different to say. God's word would say that your parents are the single most important relationship that you have. They are the single most important relationship that you have. Not peers, but your parents. But if we're going to believe this, we must have our minds transformed by God's word. We must push back against what the world is telling us and let our minds be renewed from God's word. So that's what we're going to do tonight. Number two, be transformed. What we're going to do tonight is we are going to take some time to look at different passages from God's word, and we are going to renew our minds with the truth from God's word. So I want to pray. I want to ask for God's help, and that God would help us, even during this time, to begin the renewing process in our minds. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this night. Father, I thank you so much for your word. And Father, I thank you that you have given us your word so that our minds can be renewed tonight and our lives as a result can be transformed so that we can live for your glory and for your pleasure. So Lord, help us, I pray. I pray you'd open our eyes, Lord. Help us to see these scriptures in a new way, afresh. Stir our love for you tonight, that we would want to leave here ready to please you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the first passage I want to draw your attention to is taken out of Exodus. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Exodus chapter 20, you can do that. The scriptures I'm going to use tonight, I believe, are going to appear on the screen behind me. So you can look in the screen if you want to. If you want to try to keep up and look at them as we go along, that is fine too. But I want to begin in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and I'm going to look at verse 12 in a minute. What's happening in Exodus chapter 20? God's people, Israel, has been led out of slavery and is getting ready to go towards the promised land. And as they do, they take a pit stop along the way. God gets Moses' attention. He says, Moses, I want to give you some commandments. I want to tell you some things that I want my people to obey. I want my people to do. And so he gives them these Ten Commandments. Now, the first four of those commandments are related to you and God, the way that you relate and interact and think about God. The last six have to do with your relationship with peers, with people on earth, with people we interact with. So the first four are about you and God. The second are about you and others. Well, the first commandment that has to do with our relationship to others is seen in verse 12. And it says this, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land and that the Lord your God is giving you. First commandment, the first humanly relational category that God introduces to us is our relationship, your relationship with your mother and with your father. Now, that should tell us something. That should tell us where God places the priority of you honoring and obeying your mom and dad. It's of first importance to God. It's the first humanly relational connection that God draws our attention to out of his word. Commandment number five, obey and honor. Notice these aren't 10 suggestions. These are 10 commands that God gives to us. Notice that God doesn't say, youth, tolerate your mom and dad during the season of your life. He says, honor. Honor your mom and dad. When I was preparing for this, I had a little picture real quick of my son. I took him to an O's game a few months back, and he and I sat down close to the dugout. And there's a certain player that my son has been watching and following, seems to have a good reputation on the team, good character. And he came out of the dugout before the game started, and my son caught his eye. He came out. My son sat up. He kind of worked his way down closer to where the player was, hoping that he might get a glimpse, maybe get a conversation, maybe get a signature. And he worked his way down there. I thought, he was so excited about getting to see that player. Now, that is a picture of what I think God wants us youth, how God wants you to see your mom and dad, that there should be a level of honor there, a level of excitement, a level of respect, that when they enter the room, there's an excitement there, there's a joy there, there's a reality that this is my dad, this is my mom. I want to be with them. Youth, let me just ask you a question, just to consider. Are there relationships in your life that you think of as more important than the one with your mom and dad? If I were just to throw out the word relationships, what's the first thing that would come to mind? Would it be a friend, a peer, or would it be your parents? God's categories, God's priority would be for you as youth that it would be your mom and your dad. Well, if you want to flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 21, we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 21. In Deuteronomy, God is taking the Ten Commandments and he is developing them for his people. He's saying, this is how I want these commandments to function in your life. Here's how I want you to live them out. So in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18, God is unraveling for us a picture of what this commandment looks like. So Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 says this. If a man has a stubborn or rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of his city, "This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all of the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear the Lord. Now that is a pretty radical command. Think about what took place. Son or daughter rebels against mom and dad. Says, "Mom and dad talk." Son won't listen. Rebels. So what do? They bring him out to the city gates where the elders are, and they have a little hearing. They gather the evidence, and if the son is proven guilty, they would literally take stones and they would stone the son. That's a pretty serious consequence, don't you think? That shows us something about God. Now that would seem really crazy to people in the world, and even for us, I think it seems a little crazy. But here's the point that God wants to make. This is the perspective of God of how evil it is, how wicked it is when a son or a daughter will not listen and obey the voice of his mom and dad. So evil that God said, "I don't want that influence to affect other people. And so we're going to put him to death." That's how serious God takes holiness. That's how serious God takes this command. Now, it can also be tempting for us when we read this verse to think, is this a different God than the God that we just sang to? Is this a different God than the God of the New Testament? Well, here's the truth. God's perspective has not changed at all. This is still God's perspective of our sin. God's perspective has not changed, but God's solution to the problem has changed. God's perspective hasn't changed, but his solution has changed because Jesus Christ came to perfectly fulfill the law of children, obey and honor your mom and dad. That means that Jesus perfectly honored and obeyed the voice of his parents. When Jesus was asked, "Jesus, would you please clean the table after dinner?" Jesus joyfully obeyed and cleaned the entire table every time, completely. Jesus probably worked with his father. And as he's working with his father, I would imagine there are points where he really did know better than his dad. He was God. So I'm certain he had insight into some of the things that were going on. And yet, not once, Scripture says, he never sinned. Not once did he arrogantly or in pride come across to tell his father, "I know more than you do." He didn't exalt his wisdom over his father. Now, Mary and Joseph were human. So certainly there were times where they came to Jesus in sin, self-righteousness, demanding something. There was sin in their hearts. Jesus was tempted every way that you youth have been tempted. And yet Jesus never sinned. He completely honored and obeyed his parents. And then as Jesus grew to adulthood, Scripture tells us that he perfectly honored and obeyed his heavenly Father. That he perfectly obeyed his heavenly Father. Every request of his Father, Jesus perfectly fulfilled, all the way to his greatest act of obedience, where Jesus cries out in the garden prior to knowing that he is going to go to the cross. And he says, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not your will, not my will, but yours be done." Youth, Jesus is the ultimate example of a man, of a young man, of a child who obeyed and honored his mom and his dad. And that's how God wants you to be. God wants to transform you into his image. Now, what would this look like for you as youth? I think this is what it might look like. "Dad, I really want to stay out till 11 tonight. I really do. But you know what, Dad? I want to hear your perspective. What's your perspective, Dad? What do you think about me staying out tonight? School tomorrow? I want to hear what your perspective is. Mom, just a couple more minutes on the computer. That's what I'd really like, and I know I've got schoolwork to do, but you know what, Mom? Tell me, what is your perspective? What is your will in this? What do you think is wise for me to do? And that's what I want to do. I want to obey you. I don't want my will. I want your will. Oh, Dad, the movie just came out. It just came out. All my friends are going. It's tonight. I know the school tomorrow, but it's tonight, and they're all going, Dad. This was a good movie, but what do you think? Dad, I really want to hear what you think. I want to know what is your perspective on this? Do you think this movie would be good for me? Do you think I'm mature enough to handle it? Do you think I should go? What do you think about the friends that are going with me? Do you think that's a good crowd for me to be with? I really want to know, Mom. I really want to know, Dad. What do you think? Youth, do you know what happened if you took on that attitude at home after your parents got off the floor? What would happen next? Now, I need to say this in all seriousness. I know there are many of you here, because I've talked to your parents, who are doing that very thing. You are honoring and obeying your mom and dad. You are asking them for their perspective before you do things. And so you need to be honored tonight for that, for your example to us in the way that you do honor your mom and dad. But it does say in Romans chapter 12, as we keep reading in the text that we had before us earlier, that God wants us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And if you would adopt that attitude towards your parents, that's exactly what you would be doing. You would be presenting your body, you would be presenting your life as a living sacrifice, renewed by God's word, transformed from inside, so that you are responding to your parents very differently than the way the world responds. Now, Jesus is much more to us than just an example to follow. Not only did he fulfill the law perfectly, but instead of you and I being stoned to death for our sin, Christ was nailed to a cross for us in our place. I know, as I look back on my youth, there were plenty of moments where I think my parents would have taken me to the elders to have a conversation, to weigh whether or not I was a stubborn child who would not listen and obey. But in God's kindness, Christ fulfilled the law, not just in his obedience, but he fulfilled it in the punishment that was due us. We deserve the punishment, and yet Christ took it. So tonight, when we read this chapter in Deuteronomy, this passage in Deuteronomy, we read it very differently than they would have in their time, because Christ has fulfilled that. So youth, every time that you have not listened to the voice of your parents, Christ died for that. Every time that you've been stubborn or disobeyed or complained, all of those things were put on Christ when he died on the cross. What a Savior. He would take all of our punishment for every act of disobedience to our parents. Youth, do you believe what God's word says here? Do you believe, youth, teens that are here, do you believe that it is so evil and wicked to disobey your mom and dad that it's worthy of death? That's how serious God takes it, that Christ had to die for your forgiveness of that sin. Parents, I'd like to just take a minute and just draw your attention to a couple of things from this passage. This is a great passage for parenting. It's just dripping with different truths for us to apply. I want you to just notice a few things. Notice first that mom and dad are speaking to their child in this passage. They're speaking truth to their child. Notice that they are giving clear distinctions to their youth between what is right and what is wrong. Clear guidelines, so their child has no excuse for knowing this is what I should do and this is what I should not do. Notice that they are bringing discipline to their child. When their child is disobedient, they are bringing discipline. Notice that when the child fails to respond, what they do? They go and they get help. They humble themselves, take their child to the elders and say, "This is our stubborn son. We have been speaking to him. He will not listen. We want your help. We need your evaluation. We need to decide how serious this is. Would you help us?" Parents, that's what God is calling you to do, the same thing as you interact with your child. Now, very often, we don't do this, and we are tempted to not do these things because, in a way, the world has gotten into our thinking. There's different ways, parents, the world has gotten into your thinking about the way that you interact with your teenager. There are certain ways the world is trying to conform your thinking. I want to share a couple. See if any of these sound familiar to you. Sin's not that big of a deal. This sin is definitely not that big of a deal. What is the worst thing that could happen to my child if I let them continue? You know, what's the worst thing that could happen? Rebellion's normal. Every kid's got to rebel at some point. This is a normal thing for teenagers. Every teenager rebels. He'll turn out okay in the end anyway. He will. He'll turn out just fine. This is about faith. I need to have faith. He will turn out just fine in the end. He needs to make some mistakes. He'll learn better after he's made those mistakes. He'll really know. He'll have learned his lesson. It'll have served him well. If I challenge him too much, I might lose him. I don't want to challenge her. If I keep challenging her, she might run the other way. What about he has to develop his own convictions? He has to develop his own convictions. You know that nowhere in God's word does it say, parents, let your child develop their own convictions. Let them go their own way, make some mistakes so they can learn from them, and then they'll grow in their love for me and my word. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that. In fact, what Scripture does say is that you are to play, mom and dad, the major role in helping your youth develop convictions. If you let him develop his own convictions, that's exactly what he'll do. He will develop his very own convictions. He will develop his own convictions. You don't want him to develop his own convictions. You want your child to develop God's convictions. And he's not going to develop God's convictions unless you lead him to God's word and to God's truth. See, ultimately, this is not about you, mom and dad, and your convictions. This is about you pointing them to God, to God's word, so they'll develop God's convictions. I want my children to know more than just that these are my convictions. I want my child to know, no, this is God's word. This is what God's word has to say. That's why I believe them and obey them. Not because it's something I've developed. This is something that comes straight from the word of God. These are convictions, son or daughter, that come from a God who is wonderful, who is glorious, who is holy, who is infinite in love and mercy. And his ways and living in his ways are wonderful. That's what we want to communicate to our youth. That's what we want to communicate to our children. Parents, through your example and through your words, are you sharing God's convictions with your teenager, with your child? Are you sharing with them what is God's convictions about different issues? I want to ask you to turn over one more time to Proverbs chapter 2. To Proverbs chapter 2. I know I'm covering a lot of ground tonight. My hope, my prayer is that you're going to gather these scriptures and you can look at them. And this is a package deal. That over the next month, as you go to youth care group, as you disciple your son and your daughter, that you'll be able to bring these scriptures to bear on your soul over time. So tonight I'm running through these. There's so much more we could say tonight. But I'm hoping this acts as a little jump start for the rest of our month together. So Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. Says this, my son, this is Solomon talking to his son. He says, son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, then you will understand and fear the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This passage is just packed with commands for you, youth, action for you to take with your mom and your dad. It says that you are to go after their words this way. You're supposed to go after your mom and dad's wisdom this way. Receive their words. Treasure their words. Be attentive to their words. Incline your heart to them. Call out to your parents for wisdom. Raise your voice to them. Ask them questions. Seek them out. Search for their wisdom. These are all the action words that are in this passage, youth, for you to be pursuing your mom and dad. Now, I know that you know how to search for things. Youth, I know that you know how to search for things. I know that you know how to store things up. You know how to search for things on the internet. If you want information, you guys know how to go after it and how to get it. You know how to seek friendships that you want to develop. You know how to go after those friendships. You know how to keep up text message and email and phone calls and everything you need to do to keep up with friendships. You know how to seek songs from iTunes so you can store them up on your iPod. You know how to pursue the right clothes from the right stores so you can store them up in your closet. So you know how to search for stuff. What God's saying here is, I want you to search wisdom from your mom and dad. I want you to search for it the same way that you search for all these other things. I want you to go after your mom and dad to find out all the wisdom, to get all the wisdom that you can from them. Teenager, are you pursuing wisdom from your mom and dad? I have friends that really want to win the whole Monopoly thing at McDonald's. So they began to plot and plan how they were going to cover the majority of McDonald's in Maryland so they could get the best chance of getting all the right pieces. And they would drive around town. They'd look for cups on the side of the road. They told the story where they stopped. They saw a cup sitting by the bus stop. They pulled up. The guy got out, ran up to it, grabbed the cup, looked. Oh, there's no sticker, no playing piece. Put it back and then ran back to the car and off they went. Driving the long way home to stop at a McDonald's just to get one more Biggie Fry so they could decide if maybe it has a sticker, maybe it has the next piece that they needed. They were searching for something. That's what God wants you to do. God wants you to be thinking, how can I intentionally search, pursue, draw out my parents for their wisdom? When was the last time, teenager, you did that? That you stopped your mom and dad and said, hey, mom and dad, can you share your perspective on this with me? Can you help me with this? I want your wisdom in this area of my life. Can you help me? Can you help me evaluate something? Youth, when was the last time you did that? This is what God's word is calling you to do. Now, mom and dad, if your child obeys this, that means they're coming to you to look for wisdom. They're coming to you to look for something. And as your son or your daughter's parents, God has uniquely graced you to give them wisdom. God never asks us to do something that he doesn't give us the grace and the ability to do. So if he tells you, mom and dad, that you are to give grace to your son and daughter, wisdom to your son and daughter, God is going to give you the grace to do it when they come and when they ask. You have a way to speak to your teenager in a way that I don't. You have a unique way to reach out to them, to draw out their heart and to care for them, because that is the way God has designed it. So parents, let me just ask you this question. Are you, when your son or daughter comes to you, when you are with them and you are trying to impart wisdom to them, are you making wisdom appealing to them? Are you making wisdom attractive to them? Here's some examples of how that might play out. Do you give long lectures or do you ask questions to find out what your child is thinking? Do you bring God's word to them or do you say to them, just do it because I'm your dad? We joke in our family a little bit about the Fiddler on the Roof movie where the dad says, because I'm the papa. I do that sometimes. The kids, is a joke. That's why. But at times, there's a real temptation in my soul to do that. Just do it. I'm the papa. I'm the dad. That's not the way God's word calls us to care for our children. Parents, do you bring the same amount of weight to every correction and discipline that you bring? Do they all come with the same amount of weight? If your child forgets to put their shoes away, do you speak to them the same way, the same amount of time, as you would if they lied? Does all of your direction, all of your correction come with the same amount of weight, or is it measured based on God's word and what God has to say about that particular issue? When you bring direction and correction, is your child very aware of your love for them? Are they very aware of the fact that you are coming alongside of them, not self-righteously over them? Have you cultivated a love for your son and daughter? Do you ask God, increase my love when they come to me, when I go to them to give them wisdom, to share with them, to care for them? Lord, may it come out of a heart filled with love for my child. Do you pray for that, mom and dad, that God would increase it. You know, left on our own, we love us. Left on my own, I love me. I need to ask God to help me cultivate a love for my children so that when I come to them, wisdom comes out of a heart in a way that is appealing to them, that it draws them to the glory of God and how great it is to serve our Savior. We want our children to love our Savior. And we want to present wisdom to them in a way that is very appealing. One more passage, Ephesians chapter 6. A message on parenting would not be complete without at least touching Ephesians chapter 6. So I want to do that just for a moment. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 6, very familiar verses for us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Remember we talked about earlier, the first commandment? This is the first of all of God's human relation commandments. That it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. There is an element to which we should obey God because we should have a degree of fear. There should be a fear of the Lord that's good and healthy that functions in our life. But isn't it kind of God that he doesn't just say, obey because I said so? God says, no, obey and I'm going to give you blessings. I want to bless you. Every teenager here, God just promised you in his word, very plain, obey and honor and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pour blessing down your life. It will go well with you. You will be glad. Trust me. God's saying, trust me, obey and honor your mom and dad. It's going to go well with you. There is going to be blessing. You know, this just gets right to the heart of for you as youth. What do you really believe about God? Do you really believe that God is good? And that he loves to bless you when you obey and honor your parents? Do you believe that your mom and dad are a gift from God? They are a gift to you from God. You know, your relationship to your mom and dad is a direct link to how you view God and to how you love God. Show me a young person who honors and obeys his mom and dad, and I'll be looking at a young person who loves God, who loves God and wants to honor him. Parents, I want to take just a minute to draw your attention to verse 4, where God is just giving a very simple command to you as parents. Don't provoke your child. Lead your child through instruction and discipline your child. Lead them, discipline them, and don't provoke them. You know, each time I sit down with a dad or a mom and we're just talking about how their children are doing, how their teenagers are doing, there's always two questions that I want to find out. Two questions I want to know the answer to. One is, what are you doing to win your child's heart? What are you doing to build with your child? What are you doing to get to know your child and where they're at and the things they like and to spend time with them? And the second question is just simply, what are you doing to disciple your child? What does it look like each week when you sit down? Do you take time to sit down and to draw your child's heart out, to bring them God's word, to build God's convictions into them? What are you modeling for them as a priority for your life? Well, may we as a church, may you as youth, may we as parents push back against all the different ways the world wants to conform us and not be conformed, but instead may we be transformed by these scriptures that we looked at tonight. May we, even tonight, begin a process of renewing our minds and being transformed to be more like Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for these scriptures that we were able to just touch on ever so briefly tonight. And Lord, I do pray that as these passages of scriptures are looked at in the weeks to come, Lord, that lives would be changed, that hearts would be transformed by the truth from your word. So Lord, we thank you for your word. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's what happens to Plato Man. Aw, Plato Man. Bit the dust. It's all right. Yeah.
Can we thank Mr. Maker for serving us?